Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, great to have you with us on today's show, brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. The Daytona 500's this weekend. All right, you need to stock up. Brewers Outlet, the place to go. Great day to go over there, too. Imports, domestics, microbrews, they have the best selection of beer anywhere. Maybe you like wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. The bags are right there at the register. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, to me, they are the superstars of the pickle bar. Indeed, second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. We are in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Best products, best sales staff, best service department. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Our play-by-play call of the day is going to deal with a player that a lot of you may not have heard about, but you'll hear more as time goes. In college basketball, there are certain people that are stars along the way. There's no question that Zion Williamson has captured the imagination of even the casual fan across the country. A guy that you probably have not heard of is Ja Morant, at Murray State. Many say that this Murray State guard might be the as high as the third overall pick in the NBA draft. Last night, he knocked down 32 as Murray State won at Austin Peay. Our play-by-play calls of the day.
Transition again. Morant this time.
Watch the weak side. He doesn't run a second defender.
Elevates with
no
the left.
No chance. No ball screen needed. Gets downhill. You got to throw a second defender at him and stop him. Not from the weak side. Different bodies in front of Ja, which is important.
Ball fake, a drive, and a finish for Ja Morant.
So they're setting these ball screens. They're down and trying to keep him on the side against the zone.
Morant draws a foul and hits the jumper.
Clean stops Murray State. Very important right now so they can get ahead of the defense.
Morant follows the miss, took the foul.
They're going right to the block with
4 seconds left. Lotta will fire the three. Off the mark, offensive board. Shot goes, will it count? They say yes, we'll take a look.
We get the beginning
Gattis,
of that play.
Steve Devine, Blake Harris. No good. And the rivalry, the first matchup of the season belongs to Murray State.
Ja Morant with 32 last night, and Murray State beat Austin Peay. Right now, it is Belmont, Murray State, and then tied for third right now, Jacksonville State, which Penn State beat back in November. They've only lost three times in conference this year, and now Austin Peay. That's Ja Morant. Check out the name, because guess what? When the NBA draft comes up, you'll see a lot of film of him. The reason you will is because a lot of people think he'll be one of the top five picks in the draft. All right, Penn State basketball coming up tomorrow. Nittany Lions taking on Purdue and West Lafayette at Mackey Arena. And a guy who about 8 seconds after the win over Michigan started watching Purdue tape, I'm sure, Patrick Chambers. Patrick, welcome. Great to have you with us.
Yeah. Very much so, my friend.
I want to get to the small lineup. You do a lot of research about your team as to what works, what combinations. That's where analytics become very important to you. How important has it been, not only in how they've executed, but the fact that there isn't a lot of tape on it right now?
You know what, Steve? I'm going to take you back a couple chapters here. First, Lamar's got to be okay with doing it, you know, to playing with right. The five and battling with the five men in the Big Ten, because these guys are enormous. They're monsters. I mean, Teske is one of the best big men. He doesn't get enough credit for how good he is. I think you would agree with me there.
He went 17-12 against Ethan Happ.
I mean, the guy's really good. And I thought he was the difference here last year versus us.
Yes.
When we were winning and they went to a zone and he just walled up and chested and forced us into a lot of tough shots, he did a great job. And I think the other thing with the small lineup is Rozier has gotten tougher. He's gotten tougher. He's defending more, better. Miles Dredd defending better, getting tougher. Josh playing a little bit better. And then the guy who really is nailing in the coffin for me, and I've gone to him and started more consistently over the last month, is Jamari Wheeler. I think he's playing a lot like Xavier Simpson for Michigan. He's playing tough. He's playing physical. For the most part, he's making good decisions. All that had to work, and it had to fall into place for us to go back to it, because we tinkered with it, if you recall, in Cancun.
Yeah, I mean, you did it in Cancun. It just, and then you kind of laid off it for a little bit.
I kind of went away from it because the teams we were playing, NC State, Alabama, they just, to play that small wasn't going to be the best thing for us. And now I've gone back to it because of what I just said. And really, it's Jamari Wheeler, the way he's playing.
Yeah.
His leadership, his toughness, his defense, how he's affecting the game. I mean, these guards right now, are they're looking over their shoulder every second. Now, where is he? Where is he? Where is he coming from this time? And he's rebounding at a high clip. I mean, he's playing at a very high level right now.
In fact, Xavier Simpson and Cassius Winston, between the two of them, combined for 13 turnovers against you. He's a part of that. But I want to get to another part with the smaller lineup. Do you feel like you're quicker in your rotations because you do have a quicker player out there?
Yeah, our three-quarter court pressure, which I typically don't play the entire game.
Right.
I think I didn't play it maybe one or two possessions, maybe. And I just like our speed out there. We're getting to, like you said, our rotations are faster. They're quicker. We're getting to feet. We're contesting. There's a lot of communication out there. We're just a faster team. And there's more opportunity or more players out there that can score the ball. So you have Rod out there who in the last four games is shooting over 40. Miles Dredd is shooting over 40. Josh over the last five games hovering around 34. And Lamar just went for 26 and he's your leading scorer. So you got four out of the five guys that can really score the ball. And we're utilizing Jamari as if he was a screener and offensive, like a five-man. We're utilizing him like right. a five-man. And he has totally accepted that role and bought into it.
Not only that, but I think one of the untold stories about Lamar Stevens is the assist number in the last three or four games. He had three more last night.
Yeah.
Are you sensing with your veteran, even though sometimes these things are subtle, but are you sensing now that he's looking around saying, I really trust my teammates?
Yeah, I think I see it as well as you do, and you can see it on film. You know, he made some great passes, big pass to John for a layup. Big hook pass over to Miles for a dagger three, which we sorely needed because we were in one of our mini droughts there for a little while, and they were going on a run. I think it was 55-51, and Miles hits a huge three.
Right.
So he's starting to trust. He's starting to believe that he's going to have to, because these last seven games, he's going to get doubled every time he gets the ball. Teams are going to just say, somebody else has got to beat us. It's not going to be Lamar Stevens. And where I think Lamar's really excelling is transition. Whether he's bringing it up or we go right into some weave action or we just reverse the ball and he attacks closeouts. We were setting a ton of drags in November and January with our ball screens and transition. Now we've gone away from that and really opened up the floor, and I think it's really benefited Lamar.
When you were going – look, you put a 40 spot on him in the first half. When you were going well, A, you were running, but B, it looked to me like you had more precision with your screening. Would that be accurate?
Screened really well. I thought offensively we executed very well. I do think our defense dictated our offense,
which is what you wanted. You've been stressing that to them. Look, your offense. You made a point to the team about Ohio State about the number of what offensive set did we run there? It was a steal and a dunk. What offensive set did we run there? It was a steal and a dunk. And you were trying to emphasize that over and over again that you can make this happen with your defense.
That's exactly right. I said to them, "Hey, how about this great cut I ran? Isn't this fantastic?
Yeah.
Look at this great cut. Oh, that was off our defense. Oh, my fault. Let's go to the next one." And we just tried to show them, like,
right.
by then, rebound them. We're so good in transition because we're getting to our spots. Our spacing, for the most part, has been very good, very consistent. We're moving. We're not standing. Only a few times last night we got stagnant. I really felt, Steve, if we could score over 60 points, we would have a chance to win the game. I really did. And then when we had 40 at half, I was like, okay, we're exactly where we need to be.
Right.
And we held them to 27. Now, we scored 35 in the second half, which was enough. Unfortunately, we gave up 40. But a lot of that 40 ironically, came in the last 2 minutes of the game.
Right. Well, what's interesting about that, though, is your 35 actually could have been a 40 spot. The free throw thing, there's nothing you can say about that. It's just,
oh my God.
I mean, there's nothing you can say about it, but you could have scored 82, 84 points against them last time.
Some sponsor your show because if they don't, they should, and we need to work out a deal.
Yeah. I know, exactly.
I couldn't even watch after a while. I couldn't watch.
I understand. But you're only the third team to break 70 against them this year. All season, with the schedule that they've played, only South Carolina and Iowa, the only other two to do it.
It's you know, when we played them the first time, and I think you and I have talked about this, I felt like we played well, and I felt like we competed. If we didn't have that four or five turnover barrage early in the second half, I feel like we would have been right there. I don't know why, I just felt like we were a good matchup.
Yeah,
I felt like we match up well with them. There's certain teams in this league I believe we match up well with. Northwestern, Ohio State, Michigan. I felt like we really could compete with the personnel that we have and who they have.
Yeah, you talked about getting stagnant at one point. Then Miles hit the big three. This is something you can't control no matter how much you talk to them in a huddle. But did you sense at one point that some of the guys were playing not to lose and they became tentative, and then the dread thing seemed to lift that off their shoulders?
I totally agree with you, and we talked about that. Guys play to win, keep playing through the clock. We got to get back to defending and rebounding. They scored three straight times. They didn't do the whole first half. And, you know, just reminding them how we got this lead and how we put ourselves in this position. Don't forget what you did. Don't look at the score. Win the next possession. This generation or everybody, really, we have a tendency to look at the clock, look at the scoreboard, and when you do that, that's when you play not to win and you play to lose because you're just hoping that clock hits zero. And we made enough free throws, and we ended up getting a few more stops. And Lamar has some great blocks, and Jamari has a couple steals, and Wazir has a steal, but that three really took the lid off the basket for us.
Look, because we talk about the two lines all the time. You won the two lines last night, 39-33. Oh, plus six.
Yeah.
I mean, you did enough because you're only 1-3 under them, and then obviously you were able to hit nine more free throws. But, I mean, you were plus six at the two lines. And the two lines in today's game, Patrick, how important are the two lines in today's game?
Yeah, they're critical. You got to be able to win those lines.
Yes.
Because if you don't, you're not going to put yourself in position. Look, as you just alluded to, Michigan was only giving up four threes a game.
Yeah.
You know that. Four threes a game. And they supposedly never foul. And we're able to get to the free throw line. We really put pressure on the paint. Not as much as we did the game prior, but still enough to get ourselves to the free throw line. Then they started fouling with 2 minutes to go, or actually 3 minutes to go, which I get. But still, I thought we did some good things. And they're one of the best in the league at not turning the ball over. And we turned them over 12 times, and their best player had six turnovers. I just think some of those areas for us, we really got to focus on and win those battles. And when you win those battles, again, I saw the graphic when I was watching film late last night. You know, we're the number one Power 5 team to be in one possession games with 4 minutes to go. It's like, that's what we got to keep doing. We got to keep putting ourselves there and keep learning how to win.
And that part about the one possession doesn't mean you're on offense. That one possession could be on defense.
That one possession could mean you're on special teams, and you know what I think about special teams.
You've got to. I think I said yesterday when we were doing the pregame, if you win eight out of 15, you've got a plus.
So here we go. So special teams, base OB, we did a great job. They only had one or two base OBs.
Right.
We did a good job. We didn't turn the ball over, but we didn't score, so it's okay. We'll say that's even.
Right.
Where we didn't do a great job is free throw line. Poole got his own missed shot late. You know we yell possession. You know these little things that drive you crazy. But great, great learning experience for our guys to not be thinking about, oh, we got to get our press break, because that's what they're thinking about instead of thinking about, all right, let's win this possession. Then I'll worry about press break.
What is it like for you at that moment with this team that you've liked the entire time? That now, the next time you sit down to do film with them, you're now teaching from a position of winning.
It's so much easier, right? And the messaging's easier. It's really understood. It's coming from them and what you're going to watch on film, because you're teaching from a win instead of a loss. And the fabulous thing is, these guys have taken ownership. You know this.
Yeah.
I hope everybody out there knows this.
The accountability is remarkable. When you sit in a film session or in a practice, the accountability has been remarkable. They are not afraid to step up and say, "Nope, that's me."
Yeah. Or somebody's not afraid to say, "Lamar, that was you." Or Lamar's
right.
not afraid to say, "Hey, Josh, that was you."
Right.
Or Josh's not afraid to say, "Hey, Mike, that's you."
Right.
Or Jamari Wheeler. That's where I think, you know, the strength in numbers, when you can hold yourselves accountable like that, that's why you're in games. That's why these guys continue to press on. That's why these guys continue to show up. And you saw that power last night.
Yeah, absolutely. How long did it take for you to at least see the Purdue box score?
you want to know the truth?
Yeah.
You want to know the truth?
Yeah.
About 5 minutes after we won.
Well, that's why I asked, because I knew it was, you're like me. I'm always like, okay, as soon as the game's like, "Hey, what was it like when you went home?" I went home and looked at the Purdue box score right away. I wanted to see what was going on.
I congratulated my staff. We go into our coach's room. We talk amongst the coaches. We let the guys celebrate a little bit. I literally went to my phone. I'm like, "Let me check the Purdue."
Yeah.
How many did Edwards have and Klein, and how many threes did they make? Because I'm still having nightmares about those guys. 16 threes on us.
I know.
And hopefully we can slow them down a little bit and really compete there Saturday afternoon.
Actually, that wasn't the first thing I looked at the box score. The first thing I looked at the box score, because the game was at Maryland, I wanted to see how many free throw attempts.
You know what? That you're hilarious. I was thinking the same thing. I was thinking the exact same thing. I went to those two, and then I went to free throws. That is hysterical, because it's true. I mean, they get a very friendly whistle down there.
Friendly?
I'm being kind. We don't need to go into the analytics of that, so let's just keep it where we are.
Friendly, let me put it this way. I mean, it's like, you know, it's like driving in a state where the state trooper sees your plate. I mean, that's what it is.
No doubt.
And by the way, just for the record, Purdue took 14 free throw attempts last night. They made 9. That's how quickly I looked at that.
10 more than we did, Steve.
Well, that's I mentioned earlier on the show, that's the running joke. Like, everybody, let's just practice 4 free throw attempts. That's all we're going to get.
Hey, you know what? You know what's been great, though, the last 5 games?
Oh, a lot of them.
We've gotten to the free throw line, Steve. Lamar Stevens has arrived as far as getting to the free throw line. He's getting the whistle that he's. But that's been the difference, because we're only making 6. We're only averaging 6 threes a game.
Right.
But our free throw, made free throws, and getting to the free throw line really exceeds our opponent, which means we're playing hard without fouling, and then we're also putting pressure on the paint, pressure on our opponent.
And you had 83 paint touches against Ohio State. You've been the downhill basketball team. In part, that's out in part of necessity, but you've been the downhill basketball team. That's what gets you to the line more.
Yeah, and I give that to Jamari Wheeler.
Yes.
Jamari Wheeler's speed has really taken over. His toughness has taken over. Everything he's doing for us and dictating the game has been fantastic. And that really allows Lamar Stevens, who's not really settling. He did take some 15-footers last night, which he's going to have to. But, man, he gotten downhill as well. We got to continue to do that, especially on Saturday.
Patrick, congratulations. Enjoy it, because I know now you're probably on your 8th Purdue tape. So,
I'm going recruiting. Just in case everybody thinks we celebrate, we hang out, we watch film, and then today we have a day off. Now we're going recruiting.
Enjoy recruiting. I will see you tomorrow.
All right, Steve. Take care, buddy. Bye.
Penn State basketball coach Patrick Chambers, Penn State at Purdue tomorrow. That will be a 4:00 tip-off. We're on beginning at 3:30 in West Lafayette. All right. So college basketball heads into another big weekend. Wrestling tonight in Rec Hall. Penn State will wrestle Michigan State tonight. They only have 2 more dual meets at home tonight, and then I believe it's Buffalo after that. They have Illinois on the road, I think, Sunday. They only wrestle 9 Big Ten dual meets. 4 schools rotate off. That's why Iowa's not wrestling Penn State, Michigan, and Ohio State this year. And somebody made a great point: for the good of the sport, they should be. Actually, there was 1 year where Penn State and Iowa had rotated off the schedule, and they actually, in a, quote, non-conference matchup, wrestled each other because they thought it was best for the sport to do so. That's actually happened before, where Penn State and Iowa, in a non-conference matchup, you know, wrestle each other for the good of the sport, even though they're, you know, just didn't count in the conference standings. That's what you need to do. You need to do whatever you can to promote the sport as often as you can. Ice hockey on the road at Michigan State. The Jordan Center's open this weekend because of fun. No basketball. Fun takes over. It'll start tonight. 46 hours of dancing to benefit the Four Diamonds Fund at the Hershey Medical Center. Ben Jones, final half hour brought to you by Brewers Outlet on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Cupid's arrow has hit the bullseye. Cupid has hit the sign in front of Sunbury Motors Kia. Drive by and you'll believe in love at first sight, too. Lease a new Kia for under $200 a month. Fall in love with it. You'll let Sunbury Motors Kia. Lease a 2019 Kia Forte LXS for just $196.40 a month for 39 months. But that's not all. During the Kia President's Day sales event, a 2019 Kia Sportage LX is priced at just $247.94 a month. And a 2019 Kia Niro LX starts at only $255.13 a month. Both for 39 months. All new Kias come with an industry-leading 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. Cupid hit the bullseye of savings at Sunbury Motors Kia. Routes 1115 in Hummel's Wharf.
Leases are 39 months, 10,000 miles per year, $2,000 due at signing. No security deposit required. Tax and tags included. Offers expire 2/28/19. Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty. For details, see retailer or go to kia.com.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Final half hour for the week, and brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. Lots of snacks. They roast their peanuts, fresh and hot every day. Bags are right there at the register. And the pickle bar, led by my favorites, the Barrels, the Dills. But there are plenty of other selections. Indeed, second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors. 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great product line. I'll give you an example. The Ford product line is outstanding. They'd like to sell 1,000 Fords this year. And Ford has a great product line, but you have an even better sales staff there that can get the job done for you. They'll get you into the vehicle you need to be in, and they'll get you into a vehicle that also fits your budget. And not only that, they'll take care of you all the way through. The service department there is outstanding. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. All right, we always have someone named Jones on as a guest to close out the week. Normally it's my brother Kevin, who now has developed quite a following across the area. But he is not related in any way, shape, or form, but still, I think, does outstanding work. That's Ben Jones from StateCollege.com. Ben, welcome. Great to have you with us on the show.
Hey, Steve. Thanks for having me.
What were some of the elements of last night's game that stuck out to you that really ended up swinging at Penn State's way, where they led for over 36 minutes?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, you look in the second half and you knew that Michigan was going to have a punchback. They were going to have this moment where you go, this might be it. And I think the biggest thing that happened, but Penn State was able to answer. They pushed it back to 10 points. And I think from there on out, you know, everybody knew going in that Michigan can score a lot of points, but they're not necessarily a high octane offense. They're not necessarily a Purdue type team. So you thought, you know, we were sitting there with about 4 minutes left and saying, you know, 74 points. And we really did say this. It seemed like the right amount for Penn State at that point. So I think just that their ability to push back and punch back And it was huge because, you know, Michigan gets it down to 5 points, gets it down to four, and you feel like, oh, man, here it goes. And it's such a completely different game when you're leading, you know, by a couple possessions than when you're, you know, leading by one or two or even just trailing.
Yeah, but again, not one time did Michigan have the ball looking to tie the game, let alone take the lead. They never one time had that. It seemed like every time that Michigan made that little spot, okay, now it's four, suddenly they made it 7-9 again. How important was the response?
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, it's sort of like what I was saying. It's just a huge ability to answer. You know, you figured that Michigan's going to hit shots, and really it's the ability to, you know, always have that response. And I think, you know, one of the things that really went in Penn State's favor for a lot of that game, it was less true down the stretch, but, you know, the ability to stay out of foul trouble in the first half, you know, I think it gives guys like Josh Reeves and those guys an ability to play with a lot more confidence and not thinking as much, because when you've got two or three fouls, then you start thinking about things. And I think what really worked in Penn State's favor is they didn't have guys in foul trouble for most of that game. Michigan does end up getting, you know, into the bonus and whatnot. But, you know, I think it played out in a way that allowed Penn State to play confident the entire way. But you're exactly right. When you're in a game and you're able to hit shots, when you're able to answer, especially against a team like Michigan that you know is going to go on that run, you know, that's really the difference between a run and just a competitive game.
Michigan is number two in the nation in adjusted defensive efficiency, obviously number one in the Big Ten. Last night, Penn State became the third team this season to score over 70 points against them. The others were South Carolina and Iowa. Penn State could have had 80-plus last night if it had free throws. What did you see in Penn State's offense as to how they played this last night?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing was just the fact that Miles Dredd was on from outside the arc. I think when he is shooting well from three, it spaces the floor better for Penn State. It gives Lamar Stevens a little bit more room. And I wrote about it a week or two ago when they finally picked up that first win, that I think one of the things that Lamar is starting to get more credit for, but really should have all along, is he's getting better and better at finding the open guy out of double teams. Yes. I think his passing has been very good in those situations, because you know, and he knows that he's going to command a double, so it's a matter of, you know, thinking ahead. So I think, you know, Miles hitting those shots. Lamar, you know, I saw some people tweeted at me, he's never going to play better than he did tonight. And, you know, frankly, I think Lamar Stevens has had a lot of games that have been at least more efficient than he was last night, but he made those timely shots. And I think, you know, Penn State, when they're able to hit shots in the first half and play with confidence, you know, I think that's huge, because I'm not sure if they switch those halves and play, you know, poorly in the first half, or not poorly, but don't shoot it quite as well in the first half and then shoot it better in the second, you know, they probably would have been playing catch up. And I think Michigan's probably a very different team in the lead than they are when they're trying to erase one.
It is easy to praise a scorer because obviously you see the production. When you look at Jamari Wheeler, what are you seeing?
You know, I remember early in his career, he kind of reminded me of a guy that was a little bit like Josh Reeves from the standpoint of just this speed and energy and just kind of nonstopness. And I think he's come a long way on both ends, really. He's always been, I think, even when he didn't have tons of playing time the last few years, when he went in, he was always a defensive spark, a guy that really got up in the grill of somebody else. And I think it really sort of it gave Penn State a lot of confidence from the perimeter defense, because I think they did a good job contesting shots. They did a good job not really giving a lot of open lanes. And that starts with the guy that's covering the guy with the ball, and that was Jamari more often than not. He also mentioned, to go back to things that Penn State did well offensively, you know, putting Lamar Stevens at the five, going smaller in that matchup and being able to use his athleticism, I think was huge. But this all comes down to, can you get Lamar the ball? And, you know, that comes down to guys like Jamari who are handling it a lot of the time.
The 1-2-2-3 quarter court, because Penn State was scoring, they were able to set it up more often. I mean, it's amazing what one leads to the other. What do you like and what are you seeing in that 1-2-2 in a game from Penn State?
Yeah, I mean, I think it really, you know, it allows Penn State to use their athleticism and some of their length. And I think, you know, they're well equipped to do that kind of thing. And I think, you know, the big thing was sort of what Pat said after the game, which was, you know, you don't want to give Michigan 20 seconds in the half court to pick you apart because they're too good to not find an open shot or find a good look. You play that press a little bit, you're making burn off some time to get across half court to get into their sets to set things up. And I think, like you said, you know, if you make shots, you get to dictate sort of the defensive pace in a lot of regard. So with Penn State making as many shots as they did, playing as well offensively as they did, at the right moments, they're able to get into that set. And I think, you know, you put Josh out there and tell him to go get some steals. I was actually pretty shocked when I looked at the box score at the end of the game that, you know, Penn State had seven steals and Josh was only responsible for one of them. But I think ultimately, you know, you put a lot of those guys out there with that athleticism and confidence. You know, Ra's come a long way and Miles has gotten better and better on the defensive end. You put them all out there, especially in a press situation, you know, they're going to do exactly what they did, which is, you know, wear you down, take some time off the clock and force some turnovers.
It's been four decades since John Beilein's been tossed out of a game. It happened at the end of the first half. I don't really want to get into that part of it, but I do want to get into what he said in the post game. You were there. I was not. What were some of the elements that he wanted to bring forward in his post game that you made note of?
Yeah, I mean, he didn't touch on that a whole lot. He did seem, I think, you know, we were as shocked as anybody that he got tossed just because, you know, he's not a guy that's really known for being all that fiery or whatnot. But, you know, I think the biggest thing, and some of that is maybe, you know, not damage control, but a little bit of, you know, anyone that hasn't watched Penn State back in Ann Arbor, he had a lot of good things to say about Penn State and really said, you know, what we've all seen over the past few weeks, that, you know, this team is really close. They probably have some wins they probably deserve or probably should have. They've got some games that they'd like to have back. This is not a team that's been getting blown out. It's not a team that hasn't been competitive. You know, so they're better than the record. And John Beilein said that pretty much over and over again, that this was a top 100 team, that this is a team that, you know, in terms of quality of play, is in the middle of the pack in the Big Ten. And, you know, you beat the top team in the Big Ten, you know, there's something to be said for that. So I think, you know, he just sort of reiterated what we all saw. And I think the weird thing about it is, you know, I'm sitting there last night. You've been around longer than I have, but I've been around a while. You know, that was like the least surprising Penn State basketball upset that I think I've seen, because you go, yeah, they're probably due for one of these games where they beat a top 10 team. They've certainly played great basketball this year. They just haven't won a lot of games. And I think, you know, listening to Beilein, a guy who obviously watches a lot of film and has seen Penn State's box scores and tape, he knows it as well as anyone.
All right, so now let's get to just a couple of other guys quickly. You mentioned Miles Dredd. He hit five of those last night. And he hadn't really, to be honest with you, he hadn't been taking a lot of shots in the last couple of games. What were a couple of things that you saw, Ben, that opened the door to get him a couple of more shots?
Yeah, I mean, some of it goes back to what we were talking about with Lamar, just his ability to find guys. I think, you know, when they put out that lineup that's got Ra, that's got Lamar, that's got Miles and Josh and Mike or whoever they've got playing, you know, that sort of 4 or 5 spot, I think it spaces them well. And this team in general, when they hit shots, we know they've got a lot of guys that can drive to the hoop. They've got a lot of guys that can score. And when they're all doing that, they're a very good team. And I think it's just a matter of, are they able to hit those shots? I think, you know, Miles has come a long way. Like you said, he's not necessarily always looking to take those shots, but he's been efficient with them. I think he's probably got one of the faster releases that we've seen in a while. He gets that thing out of there pretty quick, and I think he does a good job of getting set up. But, you know, it comes down to the little things. You score inside in the paint like Lamar was, and even when Lamar doesn't score, he commands that attention. You know, in close, you just got to find that open guy. You got to move the ball. I think Penn State's done a good job this year moving the ball and finding that open guy. Josh has done a good job finding guys. You know, they all come together. Good teamwork, good team play is going to find you the open man. And when Miles was open last night, more often than not, he was hitting those shots.
5 out of 8 in threes last night for Miles Dredd. To me, the biggest one, and I don't know if you could feel it from where you were, but Dick Girardi and I felt when he hit the corner three, I felt Penn State went from a team on the floor, not on the bench, but on the floor, from playing not to lose to suddenly getting back to playing to win.
Yeah, no, that's a huge shot. And I think it really does, because, you know, late in that game, you're trying to figure out what's the best way to sort of to work through this, because Michigan's making that little bit of that charge. You know, Penn State's trying not to turn it over. It seemed like they were turning it over about once a minute there for a little bit. You finally make one of those shots. You kind of grab control of that game again, and you go from just trying to survive that lead to be able to dictate the game a little bit. I think it's huge. I think, you know, for as good as Lamar played, for as good as there were individual plays in that game, you know, I don't think Penn State wins last night if Miles Dredd's not Miles Dredd.
Right.
You know, it's easy to say when you say, well, the guy that scored a lot of points, if he hadn't done that, they would have lost. But I do think, you know, his play on both ends and the timeliness of his shots, you know, that's all the difference in the game, especially one that's not necessarily going to be high scoring.
I'll say this, though. Who's the guy that passed it out to him? It's Lamar. Lamar has a lot of assists the last three games. He's actually, you know, become smarter, I think, about, okay, I'm not going to do this all by myself. I trust other people. That, to me, that's a big part, trusting.
Yeah, no, it's huge. It reminds me, I remember when Tim Frazier almost had a triple-double a few years ago. In the last 5 minutes or so, he's passing just the Lord out of the ball, trying to find somebody who's open to get that last assist, and they just never fall. And I think, you know, Lamar's seen his teammates make those shots. He's seen them make big moments. And, you know, I think in a lot of ways he's grown to trust them because he knows that he can't do it all on his own. And when you're rewarded by guys like Miles making those shots, it's a big moment in the step of for this team, even if it's late in the year.
Ben, thanks so much. Appreciate your time.
Yep, thanks for having me, Steve.
Ben Jones, statecollege.com. We had to have somebody named Jones on here at the end, so we went with Ben. Not related. Does a great job. All right, fun show today. Let's get to a few items here in the last few minutes of the show. And it's something I talked about yesterday. I'm going to hit again today, but something I'm going to hit a lot as we go along here. The idea of paying football and college basketball players, because, I mean, they're the ones who are going to get paid in the end. I mean, you know, the only other ones that will get paid, I would doubt wrestlers would get paid or anything like that. Now, maybe you have to pay every student athlete, but there'll be a Title IX challenge to all of this along the way. So you know that that's going to happen too. If student athletes were to be paid, and this is a long way off, it's a long way off, it would cause not harm to football and basketball. They'd be perfectly fine, no issue. But you'll have to move the numbers around, which means there'd be other sports that would be dropped. And as I mentioned several times, there are a lot of wrestling fans in our area. Penn State would not drop wrestling. The problem is you might have 50 schools drop wrestling because they need the fund, you know, as an example. And there'd be other sports, too, that would be dropped by other schools, too, with the idea of, look, we need to, like, concentrate our funds here. We have to start paying players. What do you get with your scholarship? Right? Well, for one thing, you don't have a tax burden with the scholarship. And I talked about this yesterday. When it comes time to talk about the issue of, oh, they're making all this money and the sweat equity off all these football players in order to, you know, and the university benefits. Okay. Interesting argument. But you notice that nobody has the chops to take it deeper. If you're going to have a wide-ranging discussion on this, you have to do so with some level of chops. You can't do the simplistic, they should be paid. They make all this money off of them. And you notice that's like the end of the argument. Well, it's not an argument. You need to have a wide-ranging discussion. All right, you want to pay them. Now let's talk about the, quote, unintended consequences. This is where you need to have some backbone to then really think through what the proposition is of paying them. The tax issue is a big issue. Suddenly now players would be taxed. Well, you're saying, well, of course, yeah, they'd be making money, but they'd have the money to pay the taxes. It's more than that. Right now, scholarships are not taxed. Well, now, as somebody who's being paid, that scholarship would be considered probably income. Now you'd also be taxed on that. You would then, because now you're getting a free room, you'd be taxed on the monetary value of that. Free books, you would be taxed on the monetary value of that. So this is the way it is. Okay, this is called real life now. The players get 4 tickets to every game. You would be taxed on that. That is considered income. Let's see, what else? Gear. You know, players, they get lots of sweats, lots of t-shirts, lots, you know, ski caps, backpacks, things like that. All, you know, oh, guess what? Monetary value. Saying gear's monetary value? Louisville was actually hit with a tax bill for back taxes because they were giving out gear to everybody in the athletic department, which has been a practice everywhere for a long time. Well, they actually had, I believe it was a $1.3 million back tax bill on gear. So the players would be taxed on that too. So now it starts adding up all these items that were free in the past. They'd be taxed on because, I mean, the scholarship would be considered monetary value, room, board, gear, tickets, things like that. All would be considered to be income. They'd be taxed on all of it. Now, does the player want to go through that? I mean, does the player want to go through? I mean, in the end, is it actually worth it to them to go through that? Or is it worth it to them to have their scholarship for free, have their room, whatever, and still get a stipend? And not only that, if they're getting paid, nobody's going to qualify for a Pell Grant. Right now, they can get their stipend and their Pell Grant. And again, it's not a lot of money. It's not. But it's at least something. And it's tax-free. And the scholarship is tax-free. And the room is tax-free. And the gear is tax-free. And the tickets are tax-free. And the books are tax-free. And you walk out of there, if you do it right, with a degree. And you walk out with no debt. Okay, student loan debt is one of the bigger problems in the country right now. We can talk about healthcare numbers, which Mark does a great job in the morning talking about all the time about healthcare issues in the country. Many of you have gone through healthcare issues as well, but also many of you have gone through student loan repayments. A student athlete with a full scholarship can go through their career at said school and not have to go through, and they walk out debt-free. They walk out debt-free. So we're going to get into this more as time goes. I'm just saying that if you want to pay players, there are also unintended consequences. It isn't quite as simple and as incredible as people would think it would be. You got to think it through. And the players would have to think it through. All right, today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Stock up for the Daytona 500 over the weekend. And in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK.